those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. In the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, 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 good morning, friends. It is a rainy one out there today. Rainy, blustery. I don't know that it's necessarily cold out there, but it is rainy. It is blustery, no doubt about it. But hey, we'll take it. We haven't had a lot of snow this winter. So my wife and I were just talking yesterday, Wendy Jo, about, you know, is it going to affect the water table that we didn't have all that much snow this winter. It did rain some though. Last fall was pretty wet. So, and you think of some of the storms we got. But anyway, it's rainy. It's a day and we're thankful for the day. This is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice in it, right? That's right. Let's tell ourselves that we're going to rejoice and then put that into practice to rejoice in the Lord for His goodness and for another day of breath and life and opportunity and all of that. So anyway, let's jump into the text. We are in Luke chapter 17. This is now the third day, and we're only picking up at verse 7 this morning. But let's see what it has to say to us today, God's Word. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he rather not say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we're unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Now, part of me wants to put this juxtaposed to Jesus' way of serving. Jesus said, I have come to to be a servant. And yet the parable, the point of the parable here in Luke 17 is simply this. We are simply doing what the Lord has told us to do when we obey. Now, again, you juxtapose this to other places where Jesus said he came to serve, but the illustration is that the master would be able to tell the servant what the servant is to be doing, plow the field, find the sheep, make the dinner, and then after you've done all the things you're supposed to, then you can eat and drink. And then he wouldn't even necessarily have to say thank you to the servant. Now, there are kind leaders, there are good leaders, there are thoughtful leaders, masters, if you will, who would maybe say to the servant, hey, I got the food ready, because they'll serve. There are leaders that would maybe say, give an extra thank you to somebody that they're paying to do a job. Those leaders are the types of leaders that someone will follow. However, the point that Jesus is making is that when we have done the things that we are required to do, we shouldn't look for an extra attaboy. You know what an attaboy is? A pat on the back of someone saying, hey, good job, you know. No, we should be able to look at it and go, as it says here in verse 10, we have merely done our duty. We're doing what we're supposed to do. And so in the Christian life, there are things that we ought just to do. And sometimes we think, oh, God's going to be so pleased with me because I read a couple extra verses today. Or God is going to be so pleased with me because, you know, I actually stepped out of my comfort zone and maybe raised my hand a little bit in church worship service, prayers, as they would call it over in the East or the Middle East. Let's call it the East, even Africa. They talk about it's time for prayers, which we would call time for worship here in America or in the West. But we're just doing what we're supposed to do. Going to worship, I mean, hey, God's going to feel real good about me because I went to church today. No, that's something that you ought to do anyway. Oh, God's going to feel real good about me because I gave something today. No, you're simply doing what you're supposed to do. God's going to feel real good about me today because I read my Bible once in 2 weeks. No, you can feel good about yourself for doing the right thing. That's appropriate, but you're only doing what you're supposed to do. God's going to feel real good about me because I helped somebody today. I think we need to realize we're only doing what is required. We're only doing what we've been instructed to do when we take these types of actions. When you've done everything you were told to do, you should say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. And I'll put that back up so you can see it here. I'll read it one more time. In fact, let me put it in the message paraphrase just out of curiosity to see what Eugene Peterson does with this. Suppose one of you has a servant who comes in from plowing the field or tending the sheep. Would you take his coat, set the table, and say, sit down and eat? Wouldn't you be more likely to say, prepare my dinner, change your clothes, and wait table for me until I finish my coffee, then go to the kitchen and have your supper? Does the servant get special thanks for doing what is expected of him? It's the same with you. When you've done everything expected of you, be matter of fact and say, the work is done. What we were told to do, we did. Yet, I think in our Western softness, we think that we're entitled or should be getting some extra word of praise because we think we did some great thing when we're only doing what we're supposed to do. Evangelism, we're only doing what we're supposed to do. That's it. And so to share Christ with somebody, and, you know, I've been around some places lately that have really challenged. Pastor Jacob 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, really challenged about evangelism. somewhere else, another conversation I had with somebody really challenged about evangelism. You know, it isn't an extra thing that's a bonus. No, it's what we're supposed to do. So we shouldn't expect an extra reward for simply doing what we are supposed to do. And so that those are the words of Jesus about. Now, the title says, the header says, unworthy servants. I don't know that unworthy is the right title, subtitle that would be given there. I would maybe say, remember your place as a servant. And it speaks about being unworthy servants. And for us, even in our humility, to remember that we are what we are by the grace of God. We are what we are because God plucked us out of the marketplace of sin. We are what we are. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because the Holy Spirit convicted us. The Holy Spirit drew us to himself. The Holy Spirit enabled us to believe. And it's all the work of God. You know, and I feel that. I wrote something yesterday. In fact, this is a good time for me to mention this to you. And some of you have maybe gotten the chance to read it about my army of 300. I relate with a character in the Bible named Gideon. Gideon was the least of his tribe. He was the smallest. Now, I'm not a small guy. I know that. There are some of you that are smaller than am I. I'm much bigger than I should be, probably, actually, in some ways. I related with Gideon, and that, you know, Gideon just didn't feel like he was worthy of being tapped to do what God was asking him to do. And I relate with that. And yet instead of God saying, hey, here is all these, this army of 20,000 people, God kept taking away the army until he was left with 300 men. And with the 300 men, God worked through Gideon and the 300 men to defeat their enemies. And so out of that, I came up with, you know what, I'm looking for 300 people who would be part of my army. And let me share this little screen with you. And you can just either in the comments or send me a message, say, hey, I want in. And here it is. I've created a website that I will give updates about things. And if you want to be a partner in that way and have access, this is a subscription-based website. You can only get in by subscribing to it. Let me know. And in fact, I can put down here, I think, this is it. Let me make sure I've put the right address in there. Yes, I got the right address in there. You can go there if you want to be a part. And I really intend this for people. And you know, all of you as my regular morning listeners are a part of this, a part of the support, a part of the prayer network, a part what we're doing locally, what we're doing in the state of Maine, what we're doing globally, you're a part, but you need to subscribe to that, and I have to let you in. And I'll post updates on there. Yesterday, I forgot to take a picture. I was meeting with our leaders in India, and they had about an hour and a half meeting with our Indian leaders, and I forgot to take a picture, a screenshot of that meeting, a Zoom meeting that we were having, planning out, evaluating several key result areas and planning out a meeting for October and several other things. And I forgot to take a picture of that because I would have shared it on the epistle. So that it's a learning curve. I've got to learn how to do some things here. With that, but there will be updates so people can keep up with what is going. There's some pictures there of some of the different things we've already done. And so just let me know. You can say, hey, include me, and I will write down your name and send you the invite. And you can be a part of that. Looking for people who will pray and people who will also some of whom would also become financial supporters. There is a lot of things to do this year, and we're trying to accomplish a lot of things. And I need to see that base of support go from, you know, a handful of people, which it has been, to a lot of people. And so just pray for the success of what we're doing with Concentric Global. And thanks. I appreciate that. Well, back to the text. And for me, I'm telling the story about this Concentric Global because I talk about the Army of 300 and talking about Gideon. And I am one who doesn't feel worthy. Now, some of you go, well, you're, you know, you're Dr. So-and-so. Well, yeah, Reverend Dr. So. Yeah, okay, it's true. I'm ordained. I got a PhD, yeah. But still, it's like sometimes I feel like God scraped the bottom of the barrel. But sometimes God uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. And I remember that. But I want to give God all the glory, all the praise, all the credit. And like these ones in this passage that were looking at this morning, notice what they said about themselves. We're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. And not to feel badly about self, that is not what I'm saying. I don't feel badly about myself. I wouldn't want you to feel badly about yourself. I don't think God wants you to feel badly about yourself, but we just remember our place, that we serve a king. And but he's also not only our king, he's our Abba Father. In some places, he would be called Baba. I don't know how you would say Father in your part of the world, Zara. I know the Arabic that is spoken in South Sudan, Baba. We're talking about Baba and God our Father. And some places, you don't have a wonderful picture of a great father, of a loving father. Some places, your father maybe was a tyrant, or in some situations, your father might have been really cruel or mean or distant or never home, or, you know. But if you want a picture of what a father ought to be, look at God. God, the God who said, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." He says those types of things to us. A father that says, "I am Abba," come Romans chapter 8, verse 16. By the Spirit, we cry, "Abba, Father." And I talk about the idea of crawling up into God, our Heavenly Father's lap, where He will love on us. Let's look at some further verses in this passage. Now, on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the southern border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. Now, why? Maybe within this village, this might have been a leper village. That's why there were so many of them, because maybe it's a place they're relegated to. It says the 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, why are they doing this? Because they'd heard about all the miraculous things that he had done up in Capernaum, in various places where Jesus has ministered and healed people. It says, when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now notice, it doesn't say that he healed them immediately. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." There's a lesson in this. Let me finish the verse. "And as they went, they were cleansed." Sometimes we want to wait and see God do the work before we take action. In this instance, what we see is he told them the action he wanted them to take, and it's in the midst of carrying out the action that we perhaps experience the cleansing. It's in the following through and doing what it is that we're supposed to do that we will see God work. Sometimes what we do is we take the approach, well, once God reacts, then I'll go work. This little sliver of an understanding here in verse 14, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, why does he tell them to show themselves to the priest. He tells them to show themselves to the priest because that's what they were supposed to do. Now, they would be thinking, why would we go show ourselves to the priest? We're not cleansed yet. But they did what Jesus told them, and it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Again, I know this is the third time now. I'm really repeating myself here. It's along the way that we're going to see God work. We cannot follow God. We cannot follow Jesus when our feet are standing still. We have to take action. We have to take steps. We have to do these things if we want to see God work. Do what it is that you know you're supposed to do. Don't wait. Now, I'm really being challenged here. I mean, I've got some flights I need to book and things like that. And so I'm being challenged a little bit here with this. Okay. Take the steps. Begin the action. You might not know how to do it. Abraham is an example of this. Abraham was told to get up and leave where he was and go to the place that God would show him. God didn't give him the map. God didn't give him the coordinates. God didn't put the little pin on the map and say, this is where you're going, and here's the road to get there. God just said, follow me, and I will take you to where I'm going to take you. I will show you as you're going where I'm going to take you. We are called to follow God. We don't always know how we're going to get there, but we know we need to take the steps to get there. Now, notice what it says here. Verse 15, one of them, when he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Now, remember, Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along all that well. So the fact that this man was a Samaritan and that Jesus had healed him and that the Samaritan came running back to the one that we know as Messiah is an extraordinary act on the part of this Samaritan. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. When's the last time any of us, I'll put myself in there, rather than me saying, when's the last time you, when's the last time any of us threw ourselves at Jesus' feet? And I mean physically. I don't mean just remembering to thank him as you're driving down the road. I mean actually physically thanking Jesus on the floor, getting on the floor and bowing before him. And I mean, this man threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He might do something incredible in your life today. Would you throw yourself at his feet in public worship on Sunday? Would you bow down? I don't think it should be a strange thing in church to see people bow down. I think it should be a regular thing to see people bowing down. I think it should be a regular thing to see people. Those front pews, not pews, front chairs, front seats, most of them usually aren't filled up in our church because people like to sit toward the back and work their way forward. Well, I think it just wouldn't be powerful just to see people not even being prompted, not even hearing Jacob say, you want to bow, just a song, you're singing a song, and all of a sudden it's like, this is a song that talks about bowing. I'm going to go bow down because I realize the great thing God has done for me. Again, the verse. One of them saw he was healed. He came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, yesterday we talked about faith. We talked about the necessity, and I would say in my own life, my own necessity of seeing Jesus increase my faith. And perhaps you're a person that would also say, Lord, please increase my faith. I would say that to the Lord today. Lord, increase my faith. But notice, when we take an act of faith, when we take the step of faith, now you have to wonder, what would have happened if these lepers would have said to Jesus, we're not going anywhere until you heal us. Well, Jesus may have responded and said, you're going to be waiting a long time then, because I've given you instructions that I expect you to follow. We're not above the law. We still need to fulfill the law. The law is to go show yourselves to the priest that they might pronounce that you are clean. That's the law. Yeah, but we're not clean yet. Yeah, but take the step and see what I will do for you. He was a foreigner. I mean, here in America, we used to be like the mission sending force in the world. Now countries are sending people to us. Now, who is our pastor? Here in our church, locally. And I don't mean this in any diminutive way at all. He's a foreigner. I don't mean this to be diminutive. But you need to understand that the United States has been eclipsed by what God is doing in the church all around the world. And we think we're rich and we are so poor, spiritually so poor. We don't exercise our faith as we should exercise our faith. We don't share the gospel as we should share the gospel. We hoard our wealth instead of give our wealth. I'm speaking as a country and as a church in America. We don't give it away. I'll never forget, and I'm going to land on verse 19 to end this morning, but I'll never forget reading about when David Platt, P-L-A-T-T, you can look him up, went to become the pastor of a church. I think it was in Alabama or Louisiana. I don't remember which state it was in now. And as he was taking the leadership of this church, his denomination, which I won't say which denomination it was, had one of their regular publications. And the whole front page, I would say 90% of the front page was taken up talking about how a church had raised $20 million and they build this big building. In the middle of their lobby is this big fountain, and you go in and they have state-of-the-art seating and $20 million. And down in the corner of, and you can read about this in Platt's book, Radical, down to the corner of that news periodical from this particular denomination was a little blurb about a church that raised $5,000 to go drill wells in Africa. And David recalls and tells the story that when he read that, he thought, this is just flipped backwards and upside down of what it ought to be in the kingdom of God. And I concur. I agree with David Platt. He said, we ought to be, you know, raising $20 million to go drill wells in Africa or print Bibles in Pakistan, or feed orphans in India, or any number of things in that way. And yet, what are we doing? We're building these big fancy edifices. Now, some people say, well, you know, we live in America. I get where we live. I know where we live. I understand where we live. And yet, is that an excuse for not doing what it is that we ought to do oftentimes? To praise God. The Christian life, we're called to be a peculiar people. And yet sometimes we just kind of want to blend in with the woodwork around us and blend in with culture. And I'm not saying we have to be so bizarre that it's like people think we're bizarre, but we ought to be the type of people who Jesus is so real in our lives and we're so committed to following him that people say there is something so different about you. And it's because we live our faith differently. Now, notice, I want to conclude in this verse down here. Fran, you're way, way, way too kind to me. Thank you. And I'll just make mention about Bibles here in just a moment. This verse, he said, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. How's your faith today? You might need healing today. I want to encourage you to trust God, to look to him, to heal your body. Just do that. Trust him to heal your body. That's the need. Trust him. Trust him for the provision. Trust him. He's saying to us, trust him. And I don't get how it always works. I'm just being honest. But I know what he says. Trust him. Now, let me just make mention of this. Bibles. If you want to contribute, and I'm trying to remember which button to push. One of you did this the other day. We're raising more funds for more Bibles to be printed over for our sister and their church there. This is the place you go, concentricglobal.org/give. At this juncture, we're doing smaller batches of Bibles. You can find the designation ministry of Jim Culbertson. And if you want to give there, just send me a message and say, hey, I sent some money specifically for Bibles, and we'll know that that is for our sister. And we will get that money delivered over there so they can get more Bibles printed. We can do that. And just pray. I'm still trying to work out some of the mechanism of how some different things work. I'm not quite there yet. I talked about that yesterday. And just actually, it isn't necessarily how it works. I just need to get on top of some things. So that we can release funds. Let's put it that way. But what's your faith asking you to do today? What do you feel the Lord is prompting you to do today? Take action. Follow after him. Be obedient to him. Do the things that you know that the Lord is telling you to do and see what he will do. Lord, we do pray for our friends in India that are in need of food for the kids in their orphanage. Lord, we do pray for our friends in Pakistan who need money for things like electric and food and Bibles. They're in the season, I think, now where they can't do the work. It's very dependent on the weather in that part of Pakistan. So, Lord, would you provide for them? We pray for our friends in South Sudan. I think specifically of Joseph, who needs new tires on his vehicle and some fuel work done on his vehicle. Lord, all these needs. Lord, hear our prayer that you would provide for these needs. And Lord, increase the size of our army that we might see more and more support given to our friends around the world. Lord, hear our prayer today. Help us to glorify you in our prayers and in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow.